Hello everyone and welcome to Advanced Studio Classroom. Today we begin our speed review and we have a very special guest in the studio. Everyone, Bill Quinn is back in the studio today. Welcome, Bill.
Thank you, Brandon. It's great to be here. Yeah.
Yeah, and we also have Katie here with us, the managing editor of Advance Magazine.
Thanks, Brandon. Hi, everyone.
And my name, yes, as Katie just said, is Brandon. And we are talking about a special book today, and it's written by our own Bill Quinn.
Yeah, thanks, Brandon. It is a book that I put a lot of time and thought into it over many years, actually. I had the great opportunity working with ORTV to go out to judge many contests all around Taiwan, and I noticed some certain patterns when I went out to these contests, and you know, over the years I thought, wow, they really need a guidebook on this. And so I was able to compile all of these thoughts and put it into what we have here right now.
Can you tell us a little bit more about that process? I couldn't really imagine writing a book. That's a big task. And so how was the whole process? Was it really challenging, or how do you perceive that?
It is a challenging process, yeah, because it took a long time. There's two parts of this process. One is just the gathering of the thoughts and the notes, which actually takes years, okay? We might make notes. I often would write things down and save them in my computer over the course of years after I was at a contest, and just so I would have that when I needed it. But the actual writing and putting this all together and going through the publishing process, it's taken, I would say, about 8 or 9 months to actually do that. So it takes a long time to put together a book, and writing things out, actually, just writing the text took me, I would say, 3 or 4 months, about that. But then there was reviewing and editing, which is an arduous process.
Sure, and I'm sure that it made it easier that you had a lot of notes along the way, whereas if you just sat down and started writing and tried to remember all those things. So I'm sure that was very helpful to have some of the information already there.
Yeah, my biggest challenge, I think, was just was organizing my thoughts. You know, I actually had plenty of material. It was just, okay, how do I organize this in something that made sense? And then also, what do I eliminate? Because I had a lot of stuff I didn't need.
Sure.
Also.
Right. And so the title of your book is The English Speech Contest. So I assume that the target audience is students. Is that correct?
There's two target audiences with this. It's students and teachers.
Okay.
And this could be, I would say, you know, the senior high school level, also junior high school level, because those are the schools that have these contests. It also could be, you know, applied to university level, because I also went out and judged contests at universities. So I would say all three. But it's not just students, because, yeah, I want the students to get better at giving speeches and learning this process, but also I wanted it to be a tool for the teachers. One thing I saw when I did go out to the schools is that the teachers are so busy, they just don't have the time to really coach individual students through this process. And so what happens is you end up with, you know, just a lot of students don't know which direction to go in. And I think the teachers also needed a helpful tool that, you know, they could, if they don't have the time, they could say, here, students, why don't you read this book? And it will help everybody then.
Okay, so teachers can benefit from this. It's an aid for teachers as well. And so I'm sure that will be music to their ears, because they can use as much help as they can get. And so, well, thank you, Bill, for joining us today. We're going to get started actually with our article. We are on page 16, and the topic of this article is Mastering the Speech. We will have our first reading on page 16.
Mastering the Speech. Read this book and learn the best ways to make a speech structured and effective. Why is giving a speech such a scary proposition? According to Bill Quinn, it's because most people are never taught how to structure and deliver an effective talk. After every speech contest, I'm asked to give comments and helpful tips. And for 10 years, I've seen the same mistakes made over and over again, said Quinn. He realized that students and teachers needed a guide to help them through this process. So Quinn wrote the English Speech Contest, a straightforward manual that provides step-by-step instructions on how to write, prepare, and give confident speeches. You wouldn't expect me to fly a plane since I've never been trained. So we can't expect students to successfully execute a powerful speech without properly prepping them, he said.
We start off with the question, why is giving a speech such a scary proposition? What do we mean by proposition, Catherine?
Well, a proposition is a suggestion or an idea. So it's, you know, someone says, do you want to give a speech? And that's a really scary idea for some people.
Some people would rather die than give a speech, right?
Yeah, it's one of the scariest things people are asked, you know, what they're afraid of. And it's up there with, you know, with dying and some other things. Standing up and speaking in front of people just terrifies people.
Why do you think that is?
Afraid of failure. Mm-hmm. People are afraid of looking bad. There's some fear of rejection in that. We're all afraid of making a mistake, so that we would rather not get up and do that.
Right. And as you say here, Bill, in the article, it's because most people are never taught how to structure and deliver an effective talk as well. If you're not prepared to do something, then it's very natural to feel afraid because you don't know exactly what to do. There are all of these people there, and it's just a scary thought to get up there. So we want to find out how to structure and deliver a speech in an effective way, right?
Yeah, and you know, we do this with a lot of the students and who have never done anything before. And as I said, the teachers are often too busy to actually go through and teach them how to do this. And by structuring and how to deliver this, we break it down into smaller, manageable parts. That's what this whole process is about. So that's not just one big, huge, scary thing.
Okay, that's right. And so you say here that you went to some speech contests and you're asked to give comments and helpful tips. What were some of the things that you discovered as you went to these speech contests over the years?
Well, I would say there was a couple things. One was that because the students were often so afraid of this, they would just a lot of times just stand right in front of the judges, not move. Often they would have their heads down, maybe either just looking down, or maybe they might just stare at one judge because they're so worried about remembering their words, they're forgetting movement, they're forgetting intonation, how to vary their voice, they're forgetting gestures. They're just so worried about remembering their words that they might end up like freezing and turning into robots.
Yeah, and that's what I see as well when I go to some contests. The memorization is, you know, what they're really concerned about. And sometimes they get lost and they don't know, you know, there's this huge long pause. And, you know, I just think, you know, why don't you just be more natural? Don't try to memorize every word. And some students are better at it than others. They can just pick up. And it doesn't, I don't think it has to be word for word what they wrote, just as long as it makes sense. And I think that's something that students need to understand and not focus so much on the memorization.
Yeah. And it's, there's also, you know, we tend to believe, you know, as far as what I've seen here, students get this lesson of it's got to be perfection or it's not good enough. And so they're actually starting from a point, well, I've got to do this thing I've never done before. And there's this whole thing about it's got to be perfect, got to be perfect. Mm-hmm. And so it's an extreme. And so then all that does is tend to make them even more nervous.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So you created this guide. The name of it is the English Speech Contest. And we see here that it is a straightforward manual. What do we mean by straightforward?
Well, something that is straightforward is very easy to understand and it's clear. So there's like no tricks to this manual. It's just, it is how it is.
And what does this manual provide?
It provides step-by-step instructions on how to write, prepare, and give confident speeches.
Okay, so Bill, it's not just the delivery that we find out about in this book. We also find out about how to write a speech.
Yeah, I actually break it down into sections as far as, and we'll get into that a little bit later, on That's actually the beginning part. How do you structure this? I'm not even talking about the standing up and speaking in front of an audience or in front of judges. That comes later. Mm-hmm. The important thing in the beginning then is building your structure. It's just like building a building, mm-hmm. right? We might see Type A 101 and it's a big, beautiful building and spectacular, mm-hmm. but there's so much that goes into it. There was a concrete foundation that was put into place, and then there were beams in place, and so there's all sort of things that go into this even beforehand.
Yeah, that's a good illustration. I also like the example you use here about flying a plane, and you wouldn't expect me to fly a plane since I've never been trained, so we can't expect students to successfully execute a powerful speech without properly prepping them. And that gives you a good image in your mind, right? If you never flown a plane, you wouldn't be expected to do so. Well, why do we expect students to give a great speech unless they are prepared to do so, right?
Well, I think that sometimes, you know, whenever you think of a speech, it is just talking. So maybe sometimes you think, oh, I don't have to prepare for this. I just need to get up and say what I need to say. But you forget how much pressure there is.
That's right. And sometimes when you give a speech, if you don't have an outline or you haven't thought it out very well, you forget some points. I know sometimes maybe I get up in front of people to talk and I plan to say certain things, but I forget some of the points because I don't look down at my notes. I think, oh, I'll just remember things. And it's okay maybe to forget some things as long as they're not critical to the talk mm-hmm. or speech. But, you know, sometimes if we're not well prepared, we might forget some important details.
Yeah, and that's, again, that goes all into the preparation part, and that's what the book also does, is it teaches them how to prepare properly. Again, not just deliver, but prepare. And again, the stronger you build that foundation, the better they're going to do later when delivering it. Yeah, this thing about the students or, you know, me flying a plane, I never learned how to do that. I think in a lot of situations, and I saw this over the years, is that this whole speech giving thing is just thrown out to the students and say, okay, we're going to have a speech contest in 2 weeks or 3 weeks. And they've never done it. And of course they're like, well, you know, all they know is maybe they see somebody talking on TV or something, but they really don't know how is this done properly. So, you know, if we're not really training them in the beginning, not only are they going to struggle through this, but then the whole thing becomes a negative experience, okay? And so we're starting everybody off on the wrong foot by throwing something out to them that we've never shown them how to do. And then what's their connection, even in their mind, in the future with this public speaking thing? Oh, wow, that was an awful experience. And so they're going to, like, hate this the rest of their life if we don't start them off on the right foot.
Right, and so foundation is key, yep. And I think that's a great point, because if you don't start off on the right foundation, then everything mm-hmm. else will be affected in a negative
yep.
way.
Yep.
Right. Okay, well, why do we have to do this? What's the purpose behind of all of this? Let's find out in our next reading.
Why do we have to do this? Knowing the purpose of why we do things is paramount to success. When we understand purpose, as covered in Chapter 2, we become invested in the process and are more committed to doing our best. According to Quinn, speech contests aren't about finding winners, but developing public speaking skills in all students. This is a skill that can be used for a lifetime, and it plays a big part in people's careers, Quinn said. It's important that we encourage all students to be courageous enough to stand up and speak when those opportunities arise, now and in the future. To illustrate this reality, Quinn interviews Jason Wong, a top financial executive in Taipei who has parlayed his public speaking confidence into a successful banking career. This is one of 29 videos that accompany the English speech contest. Most of the videos demonstrate the various steps in the speech process. To make learning these steps easy, the videos have both English and Mandarin text and audio.
So knowing the purpose is important, and that's just a great thought in life in general, right? We need to know why we're doing something. So we see here that it's paramount to success, Catherine.
Well, paramount is more important than anything else. So what I think what Bill is saying here is that rather than going into the speech wanting to succeed so much, you have to know why you're doing it and understand that.
And how can we help students do that, Bill?
Well, by, you know, covering the purpose, then it just helps them become invested in the process. And when we are invested, that means, you know, I'm putting something into this, and as far as I'm putting my energy and time in this, then I am committed to doing my best.
I love this idea and this point, because this is so true in life. It can be in a job. Maybe you're out there listening and you're not ready to give a speech, but this still applies to you, this idea of being invested in something, whether it's your job or some task. If you are more closely tied to it or invested in it, you want to see a good outcome, and you'll put more work into it, right?
Yeah, there's actually, well, right in this sentence, there's a couple things. One, so often, and, you know, teenagers, they are just told to do something. And a lot of times they really, it's not communicated to them, the purpose. So a lot of times they're like, why do I have to do this? Okay, sometimes we don't have to explain that mm-hmm. to students. But in this case, it is helpful for them to understand, why do we have to do this? And that's as far as understanding their purpose. And then also, by getting them invested in this, then they're going to take ownership and they're going to enjoy this process more instead of fighting it.
That's right. And mm-hmm. they'll be more committed to it, and they will want to do their best.
Yeah.
Right. So
mm-hmm.
that's covered in chapter 2. And then we see that speech contests aren't about finding winners, but developing public speaking skills in all students. And I like this as well, because as you said earlier, people are focused on being perfect.
Mm-hmm.
But here we see we just want to develop skills in the students' lives.
Yeah, it's, again, it's not about finding winners. Yeah, eventually there are winners in contests, but I think we really kind of missed the point of this whole process. I see a speech contest as trying to improve the speaking skills of the entire student body, the whole student population. It doesn't really do everybody good to pick out just one or two really great speakers. Yeah, that's good mm-hmm. to, you know, for them. However, my goal is to increase the overall skill level of the entire student body. You know, one of the things I run into sometimes, and I cover this in the book, is that I'll go to a contest at a school, and there might be 20 or 30 students in this contest, and they come from each class. And I'll try and find out, well, how did these students get here? Did they have a contest in class, right? And some of the teachers, because they're so busy, will tell me, oh, no, I just picked somebody. And I think, wow, what about the other 30 students in that class? Mm-hmm. We just can't go and pick that one English-speaking star, right? And every class has one English-speaking star sure. who may have lived overseas. And so it's kind of an injustice to the other students in the class, because if we're just picking out the really good ones and leaving everybody behind is never going to get better at this. And actually, in the long run, this is going to hurt their career.
Yeah.
So it's important that we actually have a contest even at the individual class level to make everybody better.
That's right. And as we see here, developing public speaking skills is important for your entire life, right, Catherine? It can help you at all points of your life.
Yeah, I think that's really important. Just from my limited personal experience with this, I did have speech classes when I was in high school, but they were never very structured. I've never felt like I learned a lot from it. And I know that whenever I started working at ORTV, I really wished that I had learned better public speaking skills.
But you've been trained, you've had lots of experience here, and so that's helpful, I'm sure. But it is kind of scary to get up in front of people sometimes, right?
It's terrifying. I think that stage fright is a very real thing. I know that I've struggled with it and still do sometimes.
Okay,
what
have been some things that have helped you to overcome that?
Constant encouragement from people. That's always been a very helpful thing. And also, just for me, is observing the way that other people do things. You know, at ORTV, we often see people talking in front of others. So I've come to notice, like, what they do, you know, making eye contact with everyone around the room, not just one person, is a big thing.
I like what you just said about observing other people. And I think, listeners, you just watch people on TV even and see, you know, are they a good speaker? What do they do? If they're a good speaker, you can follow some of those things, right? And so you just observe what other people do and you can pick up some good habits. And Bill, you actually did some videos, right, that go along with this book.
Yeah, I did. There are 29 videos that go along with this book. And the way actually we structured the book is that as we go through each chapter and I talk about certain aspects of preparing the speech, delivering it, actually I cover both the prepared and the impromptu speech, which we'll talk about tomorrow. But there are QR codes in the book.
Okay.
So that as people are reading this book and I explain something, I say, please see video 5A. And then there's a QR code right there, so you can actually hold your smartphone up over the book, scan it, scan the QR code, and the video will come up, and it will show you, you know, for instance, how to do introductions and what I'm talking about right at that time.
You're so high-tech, Bill.
Well, you know, I hung around, you know, I hung around Katie here at Studio Classroom, and I learned from her. You know, she's a tech whiz.
Oh, my goodness, Bill.
No, but that's ridiculous. That's really neat, though, and very convenient for everyone reading the book. They can just scan the QR codes. Now, these videos, are they mostly interviews? I noticed here that we have an interview with Jason Wong, correct? And so
right.
Are they mostly interviews, or is there a variety of things?
There's actually the interviews are really only a few. I've got maybe three or four. I've got Jason interview, and I've also got a video by my translator, Marie Shu, who did a great job translating. Mm. I drove her crazy. So I she's just a blessing, and she put up with me, so I don't know how she did that. But
yeah.
Marie has a video, and I've got another one by another teacher here in Taipei, Poca Liu. And but the other videos are all the instructional ones that show people how to do things. Proper conclusions, proper introductions, how do you structure the speech, and even like movements and gestures.
That's great for the, especially for the visual learners yeah. out there, because they're reading it, but then they can see it being put into practice, and I yeah. think that's a great aspect.
Mm-hmm.
Now we see here as you interviewed Jason Wong, he's a top financial executive in Taipei, and what has he done?
Well, he has parlayed his public speaking confidence into a successful banking career. So that term parlay something into something, it just means that you use something you have to get something else.
Okay, and so he's done this and he's become a successful banker. And tell us a little bit more about Jason Wong.
He's an interesting guy. I've had a great opportunity to get to know him over the last 5 years, and he's been in banking for about 35 years. So most of his career, he was at China Trust, and he was in a unique position. He was the chief strategic officer at China Trust for many years, a variety of positions. But years ago, he became the right-hand man or assistant for Dr. Gu, who was the chairman of China Trust for many years, and most of our listeners in Taipei are familiar with Dr. Gu and mm-hmm. China Trust, mm-hmm. and Jason was his assistant. He actually, Dr. Gu sent him to New York in 1987 just to spend a year there on Wall Street in an immersion program learning English, and then after that, he was like his assistant, and they would fly around the world to meetings. And so they had to conduct meetings, negotiations in all the financial centers around the world. So it was important for him to be, you know, have very strong language skills because they're doing negotiations with everybody in English.
Right. And so that's an incentive to learn English, right? Especially if you're in the business world and you're traveling around, which mm-hmm. most people already know that, but that's an extra incentive to see, hey, here's someone who has been successful in the banking industry, and it's a large part due to his public speaking confidence, his abilities in learning English and speaking English.
And the reason I put it in there is that this again, this whole thing of purpose, and it goes back to, again, senior high school, junior high school, this speech contest thing is thrust into the faces of the students and say, you have to do this. And I think a lot of students are first, they're thinking, why do we have to learn this English? Is it just for, you know, to pass a test so I can get some questions right on my GEPT test or other things like that? Or, you know, they're wondering, why do I have to do this? And so I put this interview in there with Jason so that they could make the connection that there is a real life purpose,
right,
to all of this. And that there is, you know, this is a functional tool that you can use in your career later on in life. This is just not something teachers are making you do because they want to torture you. And they, you know, they like to see students suffer. No, this is actually a tool that you very well may use later on, not only to enhance your career, it might open doors for you to travel around the world, whether it is for business or for your own pleasure. It just gives you another window of opportunity into the world.
Great. And so it's important to know the purpose. And we see interviews here, there are videos, and just so you're not overwhelmed with, you know, too much English, we also have Mandarin, correct? Text and audio are both in Mandarin.
Yeah, that's, and again, I mentioned my translator, Marie, and the way the book is actually structured is each chapter one, for instance, has English, and then it has Mandarin right behind it.
Okay.
So, and then chapter two, English, then Mandarin. And that, you know, I want people to learn English, but the more important thing is I want them to learn how to give a good speech.
Right. You want them to understand exactly what it is that they should do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we have much more to talk about tomorrow, and Bill will be back with us, and Catherine will be back with us, so we'll talk more about the English speech contest in day two of our speed review. Until then, this is Brandon,
Catherine,
and Bill
saying goodbye.
Goodbye.